Jesus loves the church. That's what we're talking about this month. Jesus loves his church. Last week I made a bold statement, and a bold statement that Bill Hybels said a number of years ago, and he said this: the church is the hope of the world. The church is the hope of the world. In 2002, he wrote a book called Courageous Leadership, and inside of it, he talked about this idea or truth, rather, that the local church is the hope of the world. And he says this: there is nothing like the local church when it's working right. Agree with that? There's nothing quite like it when it's working right. There's actually nothing quite like it when it's not working right either, but that's cool. Its beauty is indescribable. Its power is breathtaking. Its potential is unlimited. It comforts the grieving, and it heals the broken in the context of community. It builds bridges to seekers and opens its arms to the forgotten, the downtrodden, and the disillusioned. It breaks the chains of addictions, frees the oppressed, and offers belonging to the marginalized of this world. The potential of the local church is almost more than I can grasp. Isn't that an incredible thing? If the church is done right, if the local church does what it's supposed to do right, it has all that potential wrapped up in it. You know, I think the most outstanding notion or idea ever created is the church. This is a wonderful thing, us all being able to come together. And when I say church, I don't mean the physical buildings that we come in. It's us, the gathering of believers coming together as the church, because the scriptures talk about us, the believers. We are the church, and we talk about the church in our modern context of us coming together. So it doesn't matter whether we're in a building like this, we're under a tree in Africa or some other nation of the world, whether we're in a marquee, whether we're in a stadium, whatever it may be, whether we're in an old warehouse, whether we're in a school building, whether we're in somebody's house, we are the church because we are coming together as the people of the church. You know what? The church over the centuries has survived incredible mistreatment, constant mistreatment, at times as historically and then presently terrible aggravation and widespread disregard. But even with its faults, even with all the faults that it has, and let's not forget that its faults are down to you and I as mere mortals. Let's not forget that. It still continues to be an instrument of God's blessing to the world for over 2,000 years, and I believe it's yet to get where it's supposed to be in regarding blessing the world. See, I think forever the church will last, and because it's God's mechanism for ministry here on earth. It is truly the greatest force on the earth today. It is the greatest force on the earth today. Don't listen to the nonsense that gets put out by the press. The Church of Jesus Christ is the greatest force on the earth today. End of story. I want to start off scripture by going to Colossians chapter 1 and verses 26 and 27. One's translation says this: it talks about Christ in us, Christ in you, Christ in us, the hope of all glory. The Amplified Version puts it this way: God in his eternal plan chose to make known to them how great for the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in and among you, the hope and guarantee of realizing the glory. The Message translation puts that same bit of scripture this way: God wanted everyone, not just Jews, to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out, regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing. The mystery in a nutshell is just this: Christ is in you, so therefore you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. Christ is in you. If we have said to God, please come into my life, come and forgive me, Christ, I welcome you into my life, guess what? Then the glory of God is upon us. That's what that scripture talks about. All of us know that Christ is the hope of the world. Do we all know that Christ is the ultimate hope of the world? He is the ultimate hope of the world. But the text says this: Christ in us is the hope of the world. Read what it says: Christ is in you, so therefore you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. So all the glory of God is in us. The hope of the world, Jesus Christ, is in us. Which way is the out? How does the outworking of the hope of God work in the world around us? Through you and I as Christian believers. The glory of God is supposed to be working out in our lives, is working out in our lives, outworks in our lives far more than we actually realize in the living of our day-to-day lives. Therefore, we are rightfully called the hope of the world. We are the hope of the world as the church. You know what? As long as Jesus remains merely a concept or merely just an idea, an abstract idea, little hope can be extended. But we believe in the glory of God on us, the hope of Jesus Christ residing in us. Christ as a living, active force in the lives of his people. This is the hope of the world. We are the hope of the world. Do not look at yourself in the mirror and go or think about yourself because you don't meet the mark of what you should meet as some insignificant, pathetic believer. No, the glory of God. The glory of God. The hope of the world resides on the inside of each one of us who have as such bowed the knee to God. We are not insignificant. We are not pathetic. So why is the church the hope of the world? Well, let's have a look at a few things. The church provides the largest involvement of or membership of any other thing in the world. It is impossible to pinpoint exactly what the actual accurate figure is of how many Christian believers are in the world, but it's somewhere in the vicinity of 2.3 to 2.4 billion people. That is somewhere around about 32 to 34% of the world's population. Islam at the present time has about 23% of the world's population. And this is the scary thing. This is the sad thing. It is the fastest growing religion in the world. You know what? This growth needs to change. In fact, this growth must change. Be arrested for the sake of the rest of the world. See, the church is the largest force for good in the world. Nothing else even comes close to the ability of the church to make great and wonderful the change. How's this? The church has the widest circulation. We are everywhere in the world. We are like a rash that's got on everything all around the world, because I tell you what, it doesn't matter where you go, there is church. There is Christian believers meeting together everywhere in the world. Even when nations where it's totally illegal and you will die for being found out, there are Christian believers there who are prepared to stand up for Jesus Christ. Villages may not have a school, a health clinic, a hospital, a post office. Businesses are virtually non-existent, but most likely there will be a church more widely spread than any other franchise in the world. Franchise, the definition of a franchise is this, or one definition is this: an authorization granted by a government or company or organization to an individual or group, enabling them to carry out specified activities, for example, acting as an agent for a company's products. Guess what? We are all agents of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're all agents of the great Creator. Next one is this: the church has serious longevity. It's been around a long time now. We've been around for over 2,000 years. We didn't just come down in the rain that happened to come down yesterday. Over 2,000 years we've been around. We have a track record that covers centuries. Hateful, spiteful rulers have tried to destroy it. Antagonistic organizations have maltreated and victimized the church over the centuries. And doubters have always mocked it. And nevertheless, the church that Jesus established has proved to be imperishable and everlasting. The Bible actually calls the kingdom of God, the church, as an unshakable kingdom. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 says these words, and this is out of the New Living Translation. Jesus says his words, I will build my church. So first of all, he will build his church. And it says, then, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. All the powers of hell will not conquer it. I, Jesus, will build my church, and all the forces of hell, that means everything that's against God, will never ever conquer it. I think it's got pretty a lot of strength to be proud of. The church provides the fastest possible expansion, potential expansion of any other, of any organization. It's estimated that every day, somewhere in the vicinity of 60,000 people come to believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Somewhere in that vicinity. Incredible, isn't it? By the end of today, new churches will be started right throughout the world. And it will happen tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. We are organized in such a way that we can network faster and with less official administration than most other government agencies or even well-meaning charities. Because you know what? The Christian grapevine, there's nothing like it getting around a bit of good news or a bit of bad news. We have an incredible ability to get and make lots of connections all over the world. How's this one? The church has the strongest authorization or promise or permission. God authorized us, the church, to change the world. That's what he authorized us to do, to change the world. If God says we're going to do it, guess what? It's going to happen. It's inevitable. In fact, the Bible teaches that God will give us his power to complete the task. He will give us, it's his promise, he will give us his power to complete the task. This is God's way. Ordinary people empowered by the Spirit of God. Whoever thought that 10 years ago, 20 years ago, or how long ago did you guys move to Waltham Abbey?
39.
39 years ago when Mick and Val moved to Waltham Abbey. Moving out of, where'd you come from? Bethnal Green, didn't you? Acne. Came from Acne. Came out from Acne to the suburbs. Whoever thought 39 years ago that Mick Fitch, because you didn't know him then. Whoever thought, eh, Mick?
Yeah.
Whoever thought that you would become the mayor of Waltham Abbey?
I wasn't a Christian.
So. Wasn't even a believer. Well, not even a believer. And now, in fact, we'll have such a huge ability to be a person of incredible influence in the town. Incredible. This is not a little insignificant thing that's occurring on Wednesday night, as Ian talked about. This is a wonderful thing that's going on, empowered by the Spirit of God. And Mick has already talked to me about some of the things he wants to see happening, and I know it's just the beginning. We're into good times. We're into exciting times. You know what? By its very nature, I just want to add a couple of more things on and then I'll be finished. By its very nature, everything about us is constantly changing. Anybody notice that? Everything changes. It's damn annoying, isn't it? Everything changes. I am convinced that they make clothes smaller today than they used to. They do, don't they? Anybody else? Yeah?
There is no way. They're just there. I mean, the clothes are just getting smaller and smaller all the time.
It's just ridiculous. It's just crazy. It's just. And then they get all the numbers wrong on the clothes as well. They keep on putting the wrong numbers on them, you know, on the waist sizes and your ladies' dress sizes and stuff. It's all just wrong. It's just, I don't know what's going on. What's that? Yeah. We change, our circumstances change. Some change is good. Some change is not so good, is it? I used to be able to run. Now I can't. My knees won't let me. Some changes are not good changes. You know what? But the reality is all things must change. And some things that appear unshakable are destroyed. But there are some things that will never be destroyed. I just want to touch on three things. God will never be destroyed. James chapter 1 and verse 17 says this, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a living shadow. God will never be destroyed. He never changes. Go back eternity past. You cannot find a time when God was not there. Hebrews 13 verse 8 says, He's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. Not only is He never going to be destroyed, He never ever changes. His word will never ever change and it will never ever be destroyed. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8 says, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Listen to this out of the message. A voice says, shout. I said, what shall I shout? These people are nothing but grass. Their love fragile as wildflowers. The grass withers, the wildflowers fade. If God so much as puffs on them, aren't these people just so much grass? True, the grass withers and the wildflowers fade, but our God's word stands for firm and forever. Whatever Bible, whatever form of Bible you've got in your hand today, whether it be on your smartphone, whether it be a printed Bible, if you chuck that on the fire and destroy it somehow, it is only that copy that's being destroyed, because the work of God can never ever be destroyed. And the last one is this: His church can never ever be destroyed. It cannot be destroyed. Matthew chapter 16, and I read it just a little while ago, but here where it starts off in verses 18 and 19. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church, and we could spend a whole week talking about just that little bit of scripture. And all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Literally, folks, the local church is the hope of the world. Local church is the only place there is power to change the world. We have the power, folks, of God amongst us to change the world, because we come together as the people of God. I believe the local church is where the rubber meets the road. If the local church is powerless, the church simply cannot grow. If the local church is distracted, the church around the world will never be able to grow, let alone here in Waltham Abbey. The power to change the world is in our local congregations all over the world. You know what? We can change the very atmosphere of the place we live in through what we have got together as Christian believers. And that's one of the things I'm really excited about, where we're going with God. And really excited about these Koreans coming, this intercession team of Koreans that we'll be able to stand with and pray with and see how the power of God can change the atmosphere around us. Remember the quote I first started off with, as it said this from Bill Hybels. There is nothing like the local church when it's working right. Its beauty is indescribable. See, when I read these words, I can see the outworking of these by faith. Every one of these in their fullness. Its power is breathtaking. I long for the day when there's such incredible power of God in this place that people walk through the doors that don't know God, and they fall on their face going, God, save me. Save me, God. I need to be saved. Why not? Why not? It's happened all around the world. It's happened in this nation. It's happened in this nation. We go back to the Welsh revival, and it's exactly what was happening. Why can't it happen again? There's no reason why not at all. Its potential is unlimited. It comforts the grieving and heals the broken in the context of community. It builds bridges to seekers and opens its arms to the forgotten, the downtrodden and the disillusioned. It breaks the chains of addictions, frees the oppressed, and offers belonging to the marginalized of this world. The potential of the local church is almost more than I can grasp. The church is the hope of the world if its dependence is upon God. And the empowered church, therefore, is the hope of the world. You know what? That's why Jesus loves the church. That's why He loves the church. Amen. All yours.